Well, hey, I'm Jeff Baumgartner with Light Reading, and I'm joined by Sue Merrick and Mike Dana. We're here at Cable Next Gen, the 17th one. I'm sure I've said this 800 times already while we're here, but hey, why not one more? But we're going to do a little bit of a wrap-up of the event, which is still going on, but covered a lot of ground, I think. And and you were here helping cover. You saw quite a bit. It's kind of hard to determine this sometimes, but talk a little bit about the main themes or major themes that you saw based on what you sat in on. So Sue, what do you see?
Lots of talk of the transition to DOCSIS 4.0 and all that entails and the steps involved to get there, which to me sound like you could go a variety of different ways, I guess, to get there. Variety of different steps.
Yeah, there's really optionality.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not like, hey, we're all going this path. Yeah.
So a lot of flexibility is required. And then also a lot of talk about automation and AI and how they're trying to incorporate that, which is a common theme across most networks, I think.
Yeah. How about you, Mike?
Yeah. I mean, same kind of stuff. I mean, obviously, this is a cable show, so a lot of talk about DOCSIS here. But we just had a presentation from John Chapman of Cisco. And I actually thought that was a real great sort of wrap up, because he talked about, he talked about cable networks, he talked about fiber networks, he talked about satellite networks, he mentioned fixed wireless networks. And his point was that they're basically all improving and all accelerating and all offering faster speeds, just at slightly different rates and with slightly different technologies. And so I thought that was a real nice way of wrapping things up, in that, all these network technologies are improving at a pretty impressive pace. And it's a matter of, how do you sell those to consumers? How do you get them to spend more money? How do you increase your base of users? And I don't know. I just thought it was a real nice wrap up.
And it's funny, because he said, hey, they're all like, if you're a serious operator, you got to be at a gig today, even though no one needs it, is the fact. And then he kind of put a milestone marker out there, saying, hey, we're going to be at a terabit in 20 years, is that right?
Yeah, 2040.
Okay, so, and going, okay, based on, the doubling and how the industry has been tracking, and it's pretty much been in sync, for the last 40 years, whatever it's been. And then he had like a message for the cable industry, and that is, you need to shift to a like fiber first, HFC DOCSIS second angle. And I think that was an interesting point. And I think when we were talking earlier about maybe surprised that there was so much discussion about fiber, right? It's not just, ooh, it's the boogeyman, it's fiber. It's actually going to become an increasingly important tool for the industry, because they're doing HFC, they're doing fiber, they're doing some wireless mobile. So where was I going with all this is that, even cable apps, I mean, they're focusing on fiber as well. They're really honing in on it. So I don't know what your reaction to that was,
well,
right?
That is interesting to me, because I would have never guessed they would be talking so much about fiber, because if you listen to the fiber guys, cable is the enemy, of course. And so it's like, pretty soon they're going to be fiber providers too, is what it sounds like, if they're on the way there. So
Because it feels like they're very focused on fiber to the rural stuff, the BEAD, BEAD on the horizon.
It's very expensive, but I guess they can get funding.
Yeah, so I mean, that's, if you're going to start new, that's where you go, and then maybe doing targeted stuff off the node. But a lot of the discussion here is like, you need a bigger strategy if you're going to eventually migrate. But that's the end game. You need to really start thinking about that, right? And then there was a lot of discussion about mobile and wireless, particularly around spectrum, right? So Rob Altifer with Charter outlined spectrum strategy. We believe like Dr. Rick and Thacker with NCTA is going to be talking about this very soon. But it sounds like the industry's message is, we like the shared spectrum model. It worked for CBS, so it should work, or CBRS, so it should work for everything else, which sounds interesting, because
Well, the wireless industry doesn't like to share at all. So it's kind of like the opposite. And Mike has some insights on that.
What's the motivation, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, he came and talked about how, in sort of future spectrum policy, there should be a real emphasis on spectrum sharing. And it's true. There's not much spectrum left. And if you want to release more spectrum to either the cable industry or the wireless industry, it will probably need to be shared in some method. But I think, the broader thing that is happening over these discussions is that the cable industry is quite worried about fixed wireless. I mean, fixed wireless gobbled up all the growth in 2023 and is probably going to do the same thing this year. It has led to a historic slowdown in the growth of cable internet. And so I think what is happening is that they see, the cable industry sees that happening. They want to make sure to stop the growth of fixed wireless, and to do that is to cut off the supply of exclusive use licensed spectrum to fixed wireless providers. And that's a, it's a competitive strategy that they are deploying right now. And, it's a smart strategy. Like, if they are able to limit the amount of spectrum that the fixed wireless guys get, they can expand it. And so,
So where is that debate going to be resolved? Is it going to be in the regulatory bodies? Yeah. Essentially, who they have to convince?
Yeah, I think it's really going to be done on a policy level, and so we'll really see it, play out at the NTIA and the FCC, and it's going to take years.
And who's going to lobby? Who's going to spend the most lobbying money? There you go.
Yeah. Now, again, a lot of ground. One area that came up, because 10G, cables labeled.
I didn't hear that very much, honestly. Yeah.
It was only my panel. Yeah, I had one panel on 10G, but the thing about 10G, it's like it's a multi-pillared thing. It's multi-gigabit. It's low latency. It's reliability. I'm sure it's something else I'm forgetting. But low latency came up a few times because there's some work going on with low latency DOCSIS. But there was actually some news that Mike saw in terms of like the market angle for low latency, because I think initially it was like, hey, people want to pay for this, it can drive up ARPU, and then what happened?
Yeah, which I think is super interesting. So what we found out at this show, and the story is coming shortly, stay tuned, but Cox canceled its Elite Gamer service. And that Cox service from Cox was basically a low latency service. You could sign up for it, and your video game session would have very low latency, and you would be able to shoot the other guy faster, whatever video game people do. But they decided to discontinue that because they weren't getting enough interest in that service plan. So basically what it shows is that consumers are unwilling to pay for low latency. It's just really interesting, right? Like, that's a very interesting takeaway from this show. It doesn't mean that no one is going to pay for it. Probably they'll still be able to find buyers for that.
That gaming model was used all the time as a reason for 5G low latency by all the operators, especially Verizon.
Exactly. And so the fact that they didn't find anyone to pay for that is a pretty interesting development into this industry, I think.
Yeah, I think what they're going to find, or like what I was hearing, like maybe the use case might be more on the business services side, and maybe they'll pay for it. But also, like even Comcast, they're testing low latency DOCSIS. They're going to roll it out later this year. They're not talking yet about how they're going to roll it out. Is it going to be a premium, or does this become something that gets baked in and like, hey, we're looking for additional differentiators, maybe low latency alongside speeds and whole home Wi-Fi in the package. It just kind of gets baked in as a core table stakes sort of capability. So,
and I mean, as a person who uses the internet, why
you use it
occasionally
this year, right?
Yeah, sometimes. But it's like, why should I pay my provider for doing their job, which is to make their network work?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like, why would I pay for extra low latency services when they should just be giving that? When they should just be doing that already and just giving it to me?
The expectation
I don't have to do anything extra.
Is different, right? Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and then we had a couple keynotes. I mean, Lou Borelli with NCTC was here. He talked, gave a little bit of an update on how they are progressing on the MVNO agreement that they had with Reach and AT&T. There's one on board now, Allo's, but they're onboarding a bunch. It sounds like that kind of independent tier 2-3 group starting to ramp up a little bit and get ready.
Yeah, and you had a great conversation with Lou. He's a very entertaining guy. Yeah. And yeah, he talked about all the stuff that NCTC is doing, and he mentioned they're gonna get into the skinny bundle game
and
for video and offer either 35 or 40 channels to their members that their members would then be able to sell to their customers. And so, I mean, Jeff, this is right up your alley. I mean, is that something that they are going to want and need?
Yeah, I think the issue with pay TV in general has been, well, there's a few issues. Number one, it's always been overpriced because the programming rates keep accelerating and the operators have to pass through everything and you're getting this bloated thing. And then also all these direct-to-consumer services are clawing back a lot of the good content, and it's reducing the value of the pay TV package. And operators are like, I'm not, you know, so they're renegotiating deals because they don't want their customers to be paying twice for the same content. But also, you know, sports is really expensive, and that's one of the things that makes the bundle get bloated. And you know, there's definitely a market for kind of a smaller, slimmed down packages. Who knows? I don't know yet what the NCTC is going to put in there. You know, is there going to be any sports? Do they want to keep it in a certain price range? Probably not. So I imagine it'd be like a Philo sort of service. If you're familiar with that one, it's very entertainment focused, not a lot of sports in it. But we'll see how it goes. But apparently, there's like a segment of the market that would like to have that. So we'll see.
Yeah. Back to his comments on the MVNOs. What was interesting to me was, I mean, I've heard this, like there's 100 of these small systems that are interested, but it seems like he said that 6 months ago or so, or, I mean, it's just taking a long time maybe for them to
sign up. I think he acknowledged like the whole thing.
He said his timing was off or something.
Yeah, I remember he's like, hey, I remember we thought we'd be at a certain point. I can't remember the timeline. It's like, well, it actually took 6 months longer now. I mean, I think it's easy to say.
He said it was complicated.
Yeah.
And your point, the handsets that they get, whatever handsets they get, really is what makes it desirable.
Right. Yeah, I know they're working on the Apple, I can't remember the name of it, but like an Apple service provider bundle or something. So they're working on that. That's going to be a big piece of the puzzle to make those services more attractive. Like right now, I think they have some refurbed older generation
or they
Apple
have to
devices.
Buy their own and bring it.
Yeah, they had that option.
You know,
but
extra steps that consumers don't always want to take.
Right.
So
yeah, so I think there's like an evolution and you know, this is like the first steps, and you know, I think maybe it's like anything, you're kind of rolling a big boulder up a hill and it's going to take a lot of work and time to get it up there, and then yeah, once it's there, then okay, it starts to flow. So we'll see if the acceleration becomes similar like we saw with Comcast
Charter.
Then the last thing, I mean, sticking with the video, was, and this was a surprise to me, because for years we've talked about the legacy QAM video infrastructure.
Not my necessarily our coverage areas. Yeah, but anyway, there's changes going on in QAM.
Yeah, so
QAM and video.
Years ago we used to talk about the end of QAM video, and the discussion was always like, when is this going to happen? And no one could take a really good guess because it was so far out into the future and everybody had a different thought about it. I was surprised to hear from J.R. Walton from Mediacom that they're done. They're like they've moved past it, migrated it. They're doing...
So it's all IP now there.
It's all IP, yeah. So they have some like QAM, old hybrid QAM IP boxes in the field that can do the DVR function, but a lot, it's all coming over the IP path. Now the benefit is, he said they reclaim about 400 megahertz of spectrum, which they can use toward DOCSIS 3.1 and beef up the capacity. And then Paolo with Midco, so they're transitioning off. I can't remember the exact year, but it was not too far out into the future and Ritter Communications, they were talking about the same thing. So I was a little surprised to see that this happening, you know, because years ago it used to be like, I'm going to be retired, you know, and long gone by the time this happens. But, you know, in certain situations it's happening. So that was just a surprise.
So it's happening more quickly than you had kind of expected.
Yeah, or it just kind of like all of a sudden like, oh, I didn't realize what kind of progress had been made because I hadn't really talked to operators. And everybody's like at a different pace, you know, a different point, you know, towards that goal. So there you go. So anyway, so we covered a ton of ground. Mike, Sue, so glad you both were here. Helped me cover. Hope we all learned a bunch, I hope. And we'll be sharing that with readers. We'll
some
be
new acronyms.
Yeah, some new nested acronyms, you know, the whole thing. So, all right, so that's it from here in Denver, and we'll see you next year.